We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. Today, we're talking all about writing better descriptions. So do you feel like your descriptions are lacking, like they fall flat sometimes and you're not sure how to make them more colorful and creative? That's what we're discussing in this episode. We're going to unpack this whole topic and show you some really creative and psychologically proven techniques to make your descriptions better, more creative, more immersive, and to convey the emotion that you're trying to illustrate through your descriptions. So lots to talk about when it comes to descriptions, but Kate and I have broken this topic down into three major pillars. First, we're going to be talking about the interpretation of how your character sees the world. Then we're going to be talking about character voice and personality, bringing that into your descriptions. And we're also going to talk about describing characters, so describing the physical appearance of characters, which can be a really tricky thing to do sometimes. So we're going to kind of cover this topic from different angles and give you guys side-by-side comparisons, actual written examples of descriptions, flat versions, and then more creative versions. So you can kind of see side-by-side the contrast. So super excited to get into this episode. And before we get started, we have to thank our sponsors, who are you guys. You are the ones who support this show, keep it going, keep it free of interruptions, and we so appreciate your support. So if you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow. Also on our Patreon community, you can get access to monthly live hangout sessions with me and Kate. It's like a small group, creative, organic discussion that we all get together and discuss books and some of our behind the scenes writing projects and the future episodes of the podcast. So lots of...
Yeah, this actually was an episode that someone in the group, in the circle, had recommended that we do this episode. And so we're like, yeah, you know, we should do that, and chatted about it and then came up with this episode. So it's a fun environment where we get to talk in a more direct way with you guys, do Q&A, have back and forth dialogue about what you guys would like to see and what would best serve you in this format, in this show.
Yeah, so lots of great discussions happen in the monthly hangouts. So if you want access to those, you can get access by joining our Patreon at any level. And the Patreon directly goes to supporting this show and keeping it alive and free of interruptions. Okay, let's get into it. Let's get into the first section of this topic. So to me, the biggest thing that comes up when I think about descriptions and writing descriptions is, first, there's no like right or wrong writing style, obviously. So everyone's descriptions will sound different, but the important rule of thumb to remember is not like, how can I make this more colorful with my language that I'm using and, you know, more complicated words or complex sentence structure. It's not about that. Really what it's about is your character's interpretation of the world. Right. So you're not describing things as they are. You're describing how your character sees it. And this, I feel, is like the golden rule of any immersive description. This is what makes you feel like you're actually in the shoes of the character experiencing the world as they experience it. Right. And it doesn't matter if you're writing first person or third person, you should still be filtering everything that your character sees through the lens of the point of view character. So whether you're narrating from a first person perspective or a third person perspective, you're still gonna have like a point of view character that the story is focusing on the most, and they're kind of the one who's seeing the world and interpreting it as they see it. So it's kind of like a basic rule of psychology that like how we feel about things changes the way we see things. And none of us really has a fully objective view of reality or anything. It's our perceptions that create our reality. So instead of asking yourself, what does this thing look like? when describing something visual. Instead, ask yourself, how does my character perceive this based on their beliefs and attitude?
Right.
I feel like that's a good starting point.
Definitely. And it's the same. This is the exact reason why if you asked, let's say you went somewhere with a group of friends and you asked each one of them afterwards to describe the events of the day or describe an experience you had, each person would describe it differently. Mm-hmm. And not because they experienced something different, but because their perception as a unique human being, a unique individual, is reflected in how they perceive things. It's going to change how they perceive things.
Yeah.
So that there's that individuality that you want to bring to your characters. So like Abby's saying, it's not so much what is it, it's what does my character perceive it to be, mm-hmm. because of their unique lens that's been developed over time by their experiences, their flaws, their strengths, their weaknesses.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They're not really an objective observer of how things are. They're an interpreter of how things affect them. Mm-hmm. And so then shifting your creativity and your mind towards that, instead of like, I need to describe this thing in a really poetic, beautiful way, it suddenly becomes a different objective of like, well, how does this character see it? Because how they see it will be different to how you see it even, you know? And that's part of the experience of like putting yourself in the shoes of the character, is you're kind of becoming them, and you want the reader to feel like they're becoming them, becoming the character. So this makes them an active participant in the scene, and it makes them more of an active character. And that's what you want your reader to feel like they are an active participant in the scene as well. So let's look at a side-by-side example now. So let's say you are writing a story about a character who is, let's say you're writing a scene where you have this character who's about to enter a creepy Victorian house that they've heard is haunted by ghosts. Okay, that's our setup here. And they're standing outside on the walkway, hesitant to step inside. So we have two examples here. One is more of a flat description, how things are, and the better example is more of how the character sees it. So flat example. Teresa stood on the walkway, staring up at the creepy old house. It was two stories tall with peeling paint and broken panes in some of the windows. It had a wraparound porch and a weathered swing that creaked as it moved back and forth. The front door had been left open, like the ghosts were expecting her. Storm clouds were darkening the sky, which made the whole place look scarier. Teresa didn't want to go into the house and find out whether it was really haunted, but she didn't have much of a choice. So, as you can see, this example is lacking rhythm and creativity and flavor and character voice, character perception.
Right. We're more just, it's almost like taking inventory of what exactly is there in front of the character.
Exactly. And so a better version of this might look like something like this. A chill raced down Teresa's spine as she stood on the pathway, staring up at the old Victorian house that loomed before her. Were the rumors true? Was this place really haunted? It certainly looked like a breeding ground for ghosts, a hollow shell of a house sagging with rot and smothered in moss, like an infection that had spread to every shutter and floorboard. On the wraparound porch, an old swing creaked eerily as it drifted back and forth, like an invisible hand was pushing it. But that wasn't what terrified Teresa the most. It was the front door, which had been left open as if expecting her arrival. All she could see when she looked at it was a hungry, gaping mouth ready to swallow her. "Stop it," Teresa scolded herself silently. "Ghosts aren't real." She ignored the coil of dread tightening in her stomach and took a step toward the old house. So as you can see, this example is way more creative and colorful, and all because we see how Teresa sees the house. That's basically the only difference here. Her observations are subjective, okay? The moss is an infection. The invisible hand is pushing the swing. The front door is a hungry mouth ready to swallow her. Those are all Teresa's interpretations of what's going on, not really what is going on. And so that's basically what we mean here by like bringing the characters' interpretations and how they see the situation into the description. And there are so many different ways to do this depending on the character you're writing and the scenario you're writing. But I think it's important also, of course, to focus on the internal conflict here and finding those moments to bring to the surface the character's fears, their desires, their goals. What is the internal forces at play? Because those things are what really supercharge description and make something even that's mundane feel meaningful.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it's so much more, it has so much more style to it. It feels like there's so much more of a voice rather than just cut and dry narration.
Exactly. Which leads us to our next point, and that is personality and character voice. So this is another key element to juicy, colorful descriptions, and this is something that you can play with a lot, and it's really fun. I find it really fun to play with character voice and personality and finding ways to weave your character's personality into the description. So we think in the style that we talk. Like, everything we perceive and think about and have a thought process or internal dialogue about is kind of the same style that we speak in, right. In a way. So how does your character's personality and voice influence the way they describe scenes, situations, and other people? That's a really good question to ask yourself as you're going into writing a scene from this character's perspective. And I feel like there are so many ways to do that. Like, there's no, like, I want to keep re-emphasizing the fact that there's no right or wrong writing style. And like these examples that we're giving today, the better examples, they're written in my writing style because I wrote these examples. But your writing style might look completely different, and that's totally fine. That's great. That's perfect. The principle is more bringing these elements to your unique style. So there's no right or wrong way to write prose. It could be more colorful and poetic and lyrical, if that's your style, or more simple and to the point and Spartan, I guess, in a way. And that's all, those are all stylistic things. So it's kind of more of your writing preference.
Right. It's more like taking these principles and then making them work for you, modifying and using them in a way that's going to serve you, not restrict you. So Abby and I always believe in experimenting and trying new things with your writing to see what is going to serve your writing the best and how can you mold it and shape it so that it works for you, not mold and shape your writing so that it works for this principle. Right. This is something that you have to find, how does this work for me? And like Abby was saying, everyone's style and writing voice is going to be different. So it's about taking these examples and looking at them in terms of your own writing. How could you use them with your unique style? And that may look completely different from what we're doing here.
Right, exactly. And taking note also of like your character's personal style, and right. That may be different than how you think and talk, and
right. That's, we're like kind of exploring that a lot with the co-write we're currently working on, because it's multi point of view and each character is very different from the one next to it. And all of our cast is just really diverse in personality, very different. Each one is so individual that when you step into that character, you have to really take on their voice, their personality, all their little quirks and the rhythm of their speaking to describe what's happening. And so it's been a fun, it's almost like an exercise in what we're teaching here, because you have to really look at, well, how would this character perceive it? They'd perceive it so much different than this one. So this may, if you're someone writing multiple points of view, this would be something that maybe this changes from point of view to reflect your individual character's voice.
Yes, exactly. Very good point. So let's look at another side-by-side comparison. Let's say you're writing a character who is kind of cheeky and tends to be overly confident and self-centered. And let's say he's walking into work knowing his boss is planning to promote someone in the office, and he mistakenly believes he will be the one to receive the promotion, only to find out that it's been given to someone else. So, side-by-side example. Let's look at the flat example first. Today was going to be a great day. I could feel it. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and I was walking into the office on my first day being the senior creative director. What could possibly go wrong? Nothing, I thought, until my annoying cubicle neighbor, Emily, walked up with a taunting smile and said, "Good morning, Bryce." "Good morning," I replied suspiciously. "Why do you look so pleased with yourself?" "Because I got the promotion," she burst out, rubbing it in by sticking her hand out for a shake as if we'd never met before. "You're speaking to the new creative director." I stared at her, dumbstruck. I couldn't believe it. So this is okay, but it's kind of bland. It's kind of on the nose. And I want to, if I saw this description in my own writing, I would want to bring out more of Bryce's personality, okay? And show how he's cheeky and full of himself, and also ramp up the emotion and tension between him and his coworker. So here's a possible way to do that. Today was going to be a great day. I could feel it. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and I was striding into the office on my first day being the senior creative director. Okay, maybe I was strutting more than striding, but who cares? I deserved this promotion. I'd worked harder than anyone in the office, knowing that one day my efforts would pay off. One day, everyone else would be answering to me. "Good morning, Bryce." Emily was the first to greet me when I entered the office, a dazzling smile on her lips. Good old Emily. She may have been the most annoying cubicle neighbor I was ever unfortunate enough to work next to, but I had to hand it to her. The girl had real sportsmanship. Nobody, besides me, had fought as hard for the promotion as she did, but her smile that morning was genuine, satisfied, full of professional pride and respect. Heck, I was almost going to miss sitting next to her in that dingy little cubicle. "It is a good morning, isn't it?" I said with a grin, straightening my tie. "Always a good morning when you're the senior creative director in a place like this." Emily laughed and tossed her silky hair over one shoulder. "I know, right? It's so exciting. I can't wait to get started. I have to admit, I was surprised they didn't choose you for the promotion. But don't worry, I'm sure it's nothing personal. I was just a better person for the job." The realization hit me like a punch in the stomach. What? So, as you can see, the difference here is that we're emphasizing the character's voice and internal conflict way more in the second example. Right. And we're also playing with sort of the comic timing and the contrast of expectation versus reality,
right,
which is another really fun thing to play with character voice, is like how do the characters think something's going to happen? And then like contrasting that with what actually happens and showing it kind of surprises the characters, but also surprises the reader at the same time with this different outcome. And it's a great way to hold your reader's interest as well. But that's kind of like another topic. I don't
know. Well, another interesting thing to point out too is the fact that the better example is almost twice as long as the first example.
Yeah.
And so this is a really good... True. Point to hit on is that it's places like these when you want to bring some more words into the mix, because so often a lot of, you know, when you're editing, a lot of emphasis is put on what words can be taken out, what words are not necessary, what words are perhaps distracting from the main subject. But in instances like this, we actually brought so much more personality and style and groove and insight and internal conflict into the more wordy example. So it's places like this where we can actually put some more words, inject some more words into the mix, because it's going to make it more meaningful. That's always the balance, is adding or taking away words in order to make the story more meaningful. So it's places like this that we can look at. Well, even though this is twice as long, does it make the scene more impactful? And in this case, it reveals to us so much more about Bryce's personality, even more about his relationship with his coworker, that makes this scene just so much more intense than the first example.
Exactly. Very good point. And I think that's something to definitely watch for if you're trying to cut words from your book, or not, you know, oh, I have to restrict myself and not make this too long. Sometimes it's better to make something longer and the pacing of it longer, more more of a buildup
right.
in a meaningful moment, because you have internal conflict and you have some pretty complex emotions happening between your characters. That's a time where you want to take your time. You don't want to rush through that. So appreciating and understanding like the pacing of the scene and like what kind of pacing would make my reader feel the most for my characters is more important than making things go by quickly. I think that's an excellent point. So definitely have fun with that, play with that one, and enjoy the creative playtime of like exploring your character's personality and their inner dialogue and their voice and seeing how their personality reflects upon their voice, upon their word choice, how they see themselves, how they see other people. It can be just a really fun exercise to play with different character personalities and see what you come up with. Okay, last but not least, describing people. Like you introduce a new character and you kind of want to pause the story for a second just to explain what this character looks like and go through their physical appearance and give the reader a good mental image of what this character looks like. But you don't want to just go through an inventory list of all their physical features, because that can, first of all, be too long and dragged out. It can also make the story kind of hit pause on the story for a long time just to describe this character and go in depth about every single detail. And a lot of times we don't need that much description. So a lot of writers do get carried away with detail, but some writers don't describe characters enough. And then we're left with this false mental image. we're left to like create our own mental image and then have it shattered later. Like I've experienced that many times.
Right, and then the movie comes out and then there's outrage because no one thought the character looked like that.
Yeah.
Because we didn't describe them.
Exactly.
So that's why it's important to have some foundational building blocks. Yes. And then small things you can leave up to the interpretation of the reader.
Yeah.
But it does help us to have a more vivid image in our minds of, okay, who is this person we just met?
Right. Exactly. So some basics that you might want to describe about a physical description is facial features, eyes, lips, nose, jaw, brows, etc., build and height, skin tone, hair color, and texture. Those are like the absolute basics to me. That's like, I need to know these four things, or at least, you know, three out of four to be able to conjure like a pretty accurate mental image. However, you can also use other distinctive features about a character to show us something, not just about what they look like, but who they are. And maybe their history, maybe their backstory, maybe where they're from, maybe something about their personality. So those things can be hairstyle, scars or tattoos, if they have any, makeup or the lack thereof, clothing, what's their fashion style, voice or accent, posture, scent, and gestures or nonverbal cues. So like their body language can say a lot about who they are as well. If you have a character who is more confident, their body language will be different than somebody who's more insecure. So those are all physical description things that could serve to say something about who this character is and where they're from and what is their role in the story and maybe even something about their internal conflict. Who knows? Get creative with it. And again, take into consideration the point of view character who's doing the describing of the character that we just introduced. What are the things that they notice about this character and why? Are they things that this character would notice, that the point of view character would notice? I've seen that so many times in books where like the point of view character is describing another character and they just start describing things and using words and descriptors that feel so outside of their personality and their voice. It's like they wouldn't notice that. They wouldn't describe it like that. And it feels a little bit unrealistic because of that. So asking yourself, how do their preconceived ideas and opinions affect the way they see this person? And how does their personality affect the way they see this other person and how they describe them? And also how the point of view character is looking at this new character. What do they mean to them? Like, what is the purpose that this new character is going to serve? And how does the point of view character's perception of them change because of that? That's another question that you could ask yourself. For example, I was once writing a story where my point of view character was a pickpocket, and he was describing a woman that he was going to steal from. And I put more emphasis on describing the jewelry that she was wearing that he was going to steal, more so than describing her physical appearance, because that's what he would be thinking about and that's what he would be noticing. So that's what I mean about like taking into account what the point of view character would realistically notice about this other character.
Right. Yeah, that's a great example because it's very rooted in his character, who he is as an individual based on what he's noticing.
Right.
That's really dictating what he's noticing, what his attention's being drawn to. So, and the reverse can be true as well. For an example, when it feels out of place is if we've established that maybe a character doesn't really pay attention very well, or they skim over a lot of details, and then suddenly they meet someone and they're describing every single detail about that person, and we've already established that they don't really necessarily pay attention to a lot of things.
Right.
Maybe their mind drifts more, they kind of gloss things over. Well, then they wouldn't really notice too much about someone else. So there's a lot, or if you have a character who is more self-absorbed, maybe they notice hardly anything about other people. So it's like you have, and vice versa, maybe you have someone who's very, you know, sensitive to small details. So maybe they notice something like, you know, the color of the buttons on someone's shirt. But if you have someone who's like, doesn't notice much around them, suddenly they're describing the buttons on someone's shirt, I feel like that's a little out of place for them. Why are they noticing that?
Yeah.
And another thing to keep in mind is that you're bringing not only your character's attention, but the reader's attention to all of these details. Mm-hmm. And everyone's attention span is different. Most people don't have an extremely long attention span, and they're looking for reasons why you're bringing their attention to this thing. So it's best to make it meaningful, make it matter to the character, either because of their personality or it has to matter to the story somehow. Like, you know, those buttons are going to have special meaning later. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So just keeping in mind, and of course you don't have to overthink it. When in doubt, just write whatever you want. And in the editing process, you can always go back and ask yourself these questions. If you find that you're getting jammed up overthinking this, like, do I really need to describe that her hair is curly? Just write whatever you want. And when you edit, these are great questions to come back to through the editing process. We do that all the time.
Yeah, 100%. So true. And remember that you don't have to describe everything all at once. If you do want to describe everything about a character, you can also like describe the rudimentary basics at first and then sprinkle in more descriptions as time goes on, which is one of my favorite methods. Okay, so two more examples side by side of describing characters. First, the flat example. She had long, curly hair, the color of honeysuckle, and eyes as blue as the morning sky in late June. Her skin was tan from the sun, and her strawberry pink lips were always smiling. She had dimples in her cheeks, freckles across her nose, and a peace sign tattoo on her left ankle from her freshman year in high school when she and her friends had all dared each other to get tattoos. She never wore makeup, but she didn't need to. She was a natural beauty. Today she was wearing a Rolling Stones t-shirt and denim shorts, but she still looked glamorous. So as you can see, that description is pretty loaded with like lots of metaphors and comparisons and colors and
backstory.
Roots. And backstory.
Right.
So it's like, it's a bit muddy.
Right. And once again, remember, every single thing you mention, you're bringing your reader's attention to that thing.
Yes. And does it matter?
You're bringing them to that.
Ask yourself, why does it matter? Why does the peace sign tattoo matter? It doesn't to this character we're describing now. Now, if she had like some mysterious scar that's like attached to her backstory and we have to know about this backstory, that might be meaningful. Or even a tattoo that's attached to her backstory that's meaningful, but it's in this case not meaningful. So I would start by taking away that, and I would also start by honing in more on these descriptions of like hair the color of honeysuckle, eyes as blue as the morning sky in late June. Can we like make those a little bit less dense and a little bit more quick, giving the same impression, but in a like a quicker, more of a snapshot view, so that we can deliver the same sort of feeling and at the same time show the reader who this character is, not just what they look like. So here's a better example for comparison. She was like sunshine in human form, honeysuckle hair, sky blue eyes, and a laugh like the first day of summer. Effortlessly glamorous, even in a Rolling Stones t-shirt and denim shorts. It was impossible to not notice her dimples, because she was always smiling. And that was the most beautiful thing about her. She was genuinely happy in a way that made everyone around her smile. So, shorter, more to the point, but as you can see the difference, the first one is like an inventory list of the character's physical features, and the other one serves to tell us not just how they look, but a little bit about who they are. And we still have room for those more descriptive, lyrical, that style, but and like the metaphors of like the honeysuckle, the sky blue eyes, but without it bogging down the description. So finding ways to play with that and remembering that less is usually more, I find, with descriptions. If you can say what you want to say in fewer words, that to me is even more impressive than having a big, long, ostentatious sentence.
And what's interesting, too, unless you're literally going to rewind and re-listen to the flat example again, you probably don't even, like, where are the differences? You know what I mean? It's almost like, they kind of convey the same thing.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You're not like, oh, I'm really missing this part of it.
Right.
Which, I mean, maybe you are. Everyone's different, but...
yes, true.
But it's almost like they're so similar, but yet the small differences made it more compact and made it snappier, fresher, and it conveys the meaning quicker, but yet it's still so similar. We still have so many of the elements that made the first example fun that there's really, it's almost like, unless I go back and read the first one, it sounds pretty much the same, just a little bit quicker, a little bit snappier.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's easy to go overboard, especially with metaphors, especially when describing a person, but also other descriptions too. Because if you use too many metaphors stacked on top of each other, you almost lose track of what you're even looking at. It's like, am I looking at a girl, or am I looking at honeysuckle or the sky, or what am I looking at? Right. You know, it's like, it's strawberry, pink lips. It's like all these metaphors stacked on top of each other. And then you're almost trying to like see through the metaphors to
the actual what's thing. Behind the metaphor. And remembering too, sometimes if you want one or two features to stand out among the rest, we want to sort of centralize around those features rather than spending too much time like her eyes were like this, her lips were like this, her hair looked like this. We want to maybe just like, boom, here's the centerpiece.
Yeah.
You know, her hair was tumbling around her shoulders like a waterfall, whatever. That becomes the centerpiece, and then everything else is a little bit backseat.
Right.
Because our attention can't be brought to all of it at once. So that's something to just keep in mind, is if you want something to stand out, make everything else sort of support that one feature rather than everything has a big description around it, because then the one thing you might want to stand out sort of gets lost in the white noise of everything else.
Yeah, very true. That's a very good point. So yeah. Those are the main three pillars, I would say, of writing descriptions that you'll encounter, is describing scenes and scenarios, putting that through the lens of your character's perceptions, and then describing situations where you can bring your character's voice and personality into the description, and then describing other characters, where again, you're putting all of this together. You're putting together the perceptions, the interpretations, and the character voice and personality, and using that to also help you describe other characters in your story through the perspective of your point of view character. But remembering that oftentimes less is more, but in the first draft, when you're just letting the creativity flow, just see what happens. Just write forward and don't doubt yourself too much. Enjoy the creative playtime that is writing. It should be enjoyable. It should be fun. But remember these examples. Remember these side-by-side comparisons and see if you can write your own side-by-side comparisons of taking a flat scene, a flat description, and turning it into something more creative and immersive and layered with conflict.
Right, it's a really fun exercise. You can do exactly like we did, like Abby was saying. You can even just copy and paste. Maybe you're working on like, okay, this is a section I'm working on. Copy and paste it into a separate document and then come up with a few different versions and read all of them and then see what do I like about some? Which one do I like the best? Which one is my least favorite? And then ask yourself why.
Yeah, that's a great point. That would be a fantastic exercise. Guaranteed to improve your writing. And these are things that you learn from doing. And Kate and I are big proponents of learning from doing and learning from the practice of writing, not from, you know, studying it forever and never actually doing it. So you have to get your hands dirty, you know, do the thing, write the book, write the story, and write forward and learn from the experience.
Just play. Enjoy the process, try different things, see what works, see what doesn't. That's the best way to just get familiarized with what is your style, what is your voice, what do you like, what do you not like. You can only learn these things by just doing it over and over again and just play and have fun.
Yes, so true.
It's really all it is. It's so not true. That hard.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Comment below and tell us what you thought. We love to hear all your thoughts on these discussions. We love to see you guys adding to the discussion. So comment below and tell us your favorite thing about writing description. Maybe some things that you, some obstacles you run into while you're writing description. We'd love to hear all about your process in the comments below. So do that. If you're not in the video version of the podcast, you can find that on Kate's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/KAEmmons. And again, thank you so much to our amazing sponsors. You guys are patrons. You help make this show possible. And we so appreciate your support. If you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us keep it alive and free of interruptions. Until next time,
stay stoked
and rock on.